The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place. So the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. I know, I was surprised. I asked our 5:15 p.m. Mass goers last night whether or not they had heard that interpretation of this passage, whereby the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was that everybody brought a little bit of food with them, but they were keeping it to themselves. And when they all are, you're right to laugh, but. And that when they got to the place and they saw the little boy come forward with his generosity, everybody opened up and started sharing with each other what they had brought. Right? Have you guys heard that one? No? How am I introducing this to you? I used to hear this like twice a year growing up. Because, I mean, this passage is in each of the 4 Gospels. Yeah, so I would hear that passage. I would hear that interpretation like once or twice a year. And it's horrendous. It's total hogwash. And it's clearly an invention of modern scriptural, quote-unquote, scholars who are simply reading their own experience back into that time. Semitic culture is, if nothing else, generous to a fault. The people would not see their neighbors go without. This idea of selfishness and hoarding is ours alone. We're the ones who, if we were going on a journey, we'd make sure to take provisions with us, and we would be scared to share them. It's just simply not in that culture. And why on earth, I mean, you know, is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, by the way, some of the greatest authors of all time, and some of them, I think, the most accomplished intellects of all time, why would it be that they're fooled enough by this to call it a miracle when clearly that's not a miracle, right? And here even, this sense, how would it be that they would come and carry Jesus off and make him a king if the quote-unquote miracle were that of generosity, which already is a standard virtue in that society? Anyway, I've got to stop preaching that way because I don't want to put bad ideas in your minds. I'm just amazed that nobody's heard that. When I used to hear that twice a year growing up. That was just down the street. So I don't know, maybe we were protected from that in Boone. We have proper, say, reinforcements here. We never had to hear that. So anyway, I've wasted half of my homily time on that. Now, let me just focus in on, I think, what's truly important. I think there's here, what we see is emblematic. We have an account here that gives us, again, the whole of Christian life in a nutshell, right? A nice little summation for us of what the Christian life is all about. Go back and read through this, yeah, with fresh eyes, perhaps slowly. It's John, the beginning of his sixth chapter. Okay, it's a vivid imagery, and it's one of those scenes that you can place yourself into, like feel the hustle and bustle of the crowd. You know, how is it that they find themselves going out all that way without having made proper preparations for themselves? There must have been some kind of excitement, right? So anyway, you can place yourself in the crowd. You could place yourself in Jesus' little retinue there, right? His apostles. You can even put yourself in Jesus' place and see just how overwhelming is it. You know how many 5,000 people are. I mean, this is enough to fill like a basketball arena. This is a lot of people. And just how, think about it. Look, I mean, just how ridiculous this is. You've got 5,000 people, okay? And here, Andrew, he's going to be Mr. Ridiculous for the day. And we hear that he's the brother of Simon Peter, so maybe picked up some of this, you know, craziness from him. Andrew comes to him and says, well, Jesus, there's a boy here with five loaves. I mean, it's just ridiculous. There's a boy here with five loaves. They're surrounded by 5,000 people. Well, Jesus, I don't know. There's a boy here with five loaves. I don't know what that's going to do, but here he is. Right? What meager offering is that? Okay, my friends. We encounter challenges in our lives. Yeah, we come up against frustration. We come up against things that make us angry, things that just stir our lives up, right? I mean, we're just, okay, we find ourselves in over our heads. We find ourselves surrounded by 5,000 people to feed with five loaves. And we also can realize that it's ridiculous, right? Do you ever think about you think about the problems of the world. Think about the problems of the world. Think about the problems of our community. Think about the problems of the church. Think about the problems of your own family, your own life. How often they seem just so overwhelming, like trying to feed 5,000 people with five loaves of bread, right? Just how ridiculous the whole thing seems when we're in over our heads. But we bring the meager offering of our hearts and our lives to Jesus. And we trust, as crazy as it seems to us at the time, we trust that Jesus can do something with what we offer. And pray God you have this experience of being overwhelmed and bringing your meager offering to Jesus. Because you will know yourself the transformative power of his love and compassion that even in our lives, even now, makes out of five loaves enough to feed 5,000. This is precisely what we're doing here at the Mass. We're bringing here ourselves to this very altar where Jesus offers himself to his Father. He makes our meager sacrifice perfect in the sacrifice of his entire life. And as we then are making our offering through him and with him and in him to our Heavenly Father, we receive the fruits of his sacrifice, which is his risen body and blood. And receiving it and taking that fruit into ourselves, we become Jesus. We become his body. We become the embodiment of God's love. And we become mercy and compassion, not simply for ourselves, but for the masses. Yeah, one human heart at a time, but God is changing us to make us work his miracles today, if we would but offer him our hearts and our lives.